Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
I pray that you all have a story that you can recollect on or start making you a story. Amen. But as we gave this morning, there was a point in my life that I didn't give to the church. I wasn't going to church. But when I went, I just put a plunk it in, you know, a dollar, five, you know, the least that I had. Because it wasn't a part of my life. I was just going because I was told to go. Amen. And there's a difference. But once I sold out to him and found out how much he loved me, he turned me into a giver. Not just money. I mean, everything I do, I want to do to please him. And we first got saved. I got saved at my home on my couch. We wasn't really affiliated with the church, so we started going to a church that my wife's brother, Michael, he gave land, his land, donated it, and the church had split, and they were building, the people that came out, he donated his land for them to build a church, and I was a carpenter, so I kind of helped. That's where we went. But before then, we were holding Bible studies in our home. And Michael would come over, and one of his friends, and me and Sherry, and we'd just sit around, and we'd read, and went from house to house. We read the Word, and the Lord would speak. And there was a time, you know, when we got saved, our finances were, we was in debt. We was busted. I mean, we was just barely getting by. We couldn't even afford to put tires on our car, on our van. You know, we got a couple of kids. We got Kelsey in Dallas then. Sherry's brother took our van and took and put four new tires on it. And he wasn't really at a point to where he could just step out and do that too. But the Lord told him to go put tires on our van. And we received that. I mean, he did it. He actually, somehow he worked that where we didn't know it, but then he did it. You know, he's in heaven now. But see, that reward is still, it's a story I get to tell. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible that Jesus said, this will be a witness for you. Mary that broke that ointment and put it on the Lord's hair and washed his feet. He said, they'll be preaching this for years and years until we're all gathered together again. But that was my story just concerning finances. But I'm at a point now to where I could do that. If the Lord told me and Sherry to do that, we could do that now. Because we started trusting God in our finances together. I wasn't, you know, I told you about my squirrel money. You know what squirrel money is? That was money I put in my pocket and I didn't tell my wife I had it. I had it like hidden in the ground. That was my money. That's my squirrel money. I don't have no more squirrel money. I mean, no need to hide it anymore because we come together in agreement and it's all one pot now. It used to be this is my pot and your pot. But when the Lord sees us, he sees us as one, as a marriage covenant. So things are working better now. Amen? Amen. You trust Jesus, things will work better. But concerning our message this morning, I want to turn, you're still in the book of Acts there. And Acts 2:1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord. This is a church, about 120. They were in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. This would be a good time for our train to come by, wouldn't it? Where's it at? It always comes by. It's missing his mark this morning. As a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is a one-time event that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, tongues of fire could be seen on the church. And they had a new language. I'll go on and continue to read. Now, that's a one-time event. That's already happened when they saw tongues and that gift was given. But that wasn't the end of being filled and speaking with tongues. That was just the beginning. It was a sign and a wonder. Well, we'll continue to read on here. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude, they gathered together, and they were confused. Well, we know God's not the author of confusion, because everyone heard them speak in their own different language. Never, you know, since the Tower of Babel, the language was confused. Well, now God's bringing his language back to his people, so we don't have to be confused. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in their own language in which they were born? I'm not going to hit all these names because I'd probably not pronounce some of them right. All kind of different languages here. In verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them speaking in our own tongues. What are they speaking? The wonderful works of God. Tongues is for a purpose. It's a heavenly language. And if when you're doing it, you're there to encourage, build yourself up in your most holy faith, it says. But also, I'm speaking the heavenly language. God's speaking. Me and God speaking spirit to spirit. My brain don't understand it, but I can ask for the interpretation. Because I want to know what God's got to say. Because it's always good. Amen? And it's always going to be good about you. Well, Pastor, I've done some bad things in my life. Well, God said, when you come to Him, you forget it. Jesus washed your sins away. Amen. The devil wants you to remember them so that you won't go on with the life that God's called you to do. And they were all amazed and marveled. How is this we hear our own language? Speaking these wonderful works of God, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could ever this mean? God's going to tell them. There's a purpose for all this. Speaking in tongues, there's a purpose. It's to edify, to build up, to speak forth the oracles of God, to let you know God's got something to say. He wants you to hear it with your understanding in a language you can understand. But others that didn't, man, they mocked them, saying, man, these people, they're all drunk with wine. But Peter, say Peter.
Peter.
If you were at the cross this morning and we were talking about Peter, after he had risen, you know, the women went to the grave and there was an angel there because they were looking for the Lord's body. And they were afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid, but go tell the disciples and Peter that he is not here, he's risen. Well, this is that Peter. Used to cuss the Lord, but now denied the Lord three times. But now he's been filled with the Holy Ghost. He believed, he's been saved, he's been born again. When Jesus breathed on them the breath before he left this earth, man, they received the Holy Spirit. They believed, and now the believers, they got born again. Their spirit was changed, but they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, his power to be a witness and to testify. Peter wasn't a preacher, he was a fisherman. But Jesus said, you're going to be a fisher of men. It's coming to pass right here. All this going on, speaking in tongues, different languages, Peter stood up and said, raised his voice. They didn't have microphones back then. I don't have to raise my voice, man. They can raise me back there. But Peter raised his voice. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these people, these men and women, they're not drunk, as you suppose. Since it's only the third hour, it wasn't time to get drunk. It wasn't time to drink. It was 9 a.m. in the morning. I won't go there. But this is what was spoken. My dad would get, it don't care what manner, what time it was, my dad would drink when he wanted to drink. That's all I need to say about that. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what Joel said. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Anybody ask you if you're in the last days? Yeah, because they were in the last days. That was over 2,000 years ago. We're in the last days. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What's prophecy? Speaking the words of God, inspired word of God that you can understand. Prophesy so the whole people can understand. If this was a Spanish-speaking church and I spoke Spanish, I would be speaking Spanish to you this morning so you could understand. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. The Lord's given me dreams, showing me things in dreams. He'll do the same thing to you if you're willing and you're asking. If he can't reveal it to from your spirit to your mind, when you get out of sleep, he'll give you a dream, a vision. And on my maidservants, men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. These are things that are yet to come. The sun shall be turned into darkness. What we talk about this morning at the cross. If it's not for the sun, if the sun doesn't shine, the moon is in darkness because the sun, the moon reflects the sun. There's coming a time the sun's going to be turned into darkness. Amen? That's what Jesus said, the prophet Joel. And the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? All this destruction that's going to be happening on the earth. Because we're not going to be here. you're a believer, you believe on Jesus, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the trump's going to sound and he's going to call us up into heaven. This is the rapture of the church, not the second coming. And we're going to forever be with the Lord, and we're going to go have a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a lot of things we're going to do in heaven before that great day of wrath that Jesus comes back on the earth, and we'll be coming with him. Now, that's a different gospel, different for another time, but that's in the Word. But Peter's saying, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the and determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Here's Peter, boy, he's getting bold. Looking at him, says, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. David's not with us no more, King David. Where is he? His spirit and his soul is in the presence of, he's with Jesus. But his body, King David's body, is still in the ground. Now it's gone to dust. Bones are still there. But there's coming a time when that body is going to meet his spirit and soul, and it's going to be glorified. That's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen. It's going to happen quicker than your eye can blink. And then if we're still alive, we're going to be changed. I believe, brothers and sisters, it's going to happen so fast. People's not even going to know. We've been gone. You know, you see some of the stories, some of the movies, Left Behind. You see them kind of going up. I don't think it's going to be like that. It's going to be so quick, we're going to be with him, and everybody's going to be like, well, what's going on? Where'd everybody go? That's how the blink of an eye, I mean, it's that quick. Bam. Out of here. Where'd they go? Well, I know where we're going. Amen. It's in the book here. That's where you can get excited about it. That was Peter's. I'm not going to preach this whole sermon because there's not 3,000 people here. Come on, y'all supposed to laugh a little bit. I know y'all been up early. But I got a story. I'm probably not going to tell all of it because it's a pretty lengthy story. But when I think about this story, reading this, I think about Jesus. I think about what he's done in my life. But when we got born again, Kelsey and Dallas, I only had two children then. And, you know, we'd been to church. But when we got born again, we was having those Bible studies. God was revealing things. He was just doing supernatural things. When I say supernatural, things was just started working in my life. Amen. And Kelsey, Sherry's mom, she went to be with the Lord. And she was one of the reasons that really kind of drew me to Jesus, because of her passing. And I married her daughter, and I knew in myself I wasn't treating her daughter right. And I just had this conviction. It was really the Holy Spirit letting me know, you know, if me was here, you know, you wouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. So as I was thinking upon that, and I got saved, got born again, me and Kelsey were out one day. It was a beautiful day, kind of like today. Sherry's mama, she loved flowers. I still go by her house, and I don't think the people that bought the house have even dug up any of her flowers. They're blooming again. But, you know, I told you, if you opened up my mother-in-law's trunk, you know, what was in her trunk? Dirt. Because she always was planting, and that's about what she had in her trunk was dirt. That's what was important to her, because she's always looking to plant another flower. But me and Kelsey were out there. I said, Kelsey, let's go get some flowers. And I think it was close to Easter Sunday. I said, let's go plant some flowers for Mia. I was thinking about her. So me and Kelsey, because I know the leaves had fallen, so that was more fall season, because all the leaves pretty much had fallen. And so me and Kelsey were out there in our front yard, and man, things have changed over the years, almost 30 years there now. But we're out there taking some dirt, and we're planting, and there's all of a sudden in the midst of me and Kelsey, just a whirlwind hit. And there was leaves right there, and Kelsey, her hair was flying. She was just in a whirlwind of leaves that picked up off the ground, and she was just having the best time. I'm still over here planting. She kind of like just dancing in it, going over to the neighbor's yard, and then it kind of succeeds, and she's come over there. She's just ecstatic and happy. And I said, well, Kelsey, I said, you enjoyed that? She said, yeah, Daddy. I said, well, you want another one? She said, well, yeah, I'd love another one. I said, well, let's just ask the Lord. He'll give us what we ask. And we just prayed together. We said, Lord, that was fun. Give Kelsey another whirlwind of leaves. And immediately, it took off right there in the midst of us. And there went Kelsey just playing in that whirlwind. There was two whirlwinds God gave her. And that too would be significant in just a testimony of mine and Sherry's lives. But after that was all over, you know, we was excited. We couldn't wait till Sherry to get home. We told her. Well, that same week, if Sherry was down here, I was going to give her a mic to help me with this story because I might be a little off. But the neighbors was putting some mulch. This is time to put mulch down, put some good shavings and stuff out. So they had a truckload dumped at their house. And Scotty, he was over there using a wheelbarrow. And Kelsey was over there helping because their children was about the same age. So they're taking the pitchfork, you know, pitching this mulch, throwing it underneath his deck. And all of a sudden, they were over there and they heard these eek, eek, squeak, squeak, or, you know, eek. And they're like, whoa, what's going on? Now, Easter is not about the Easter bunny. It's about Jesus. You know, the eggs has nothing to do with Resurrection Sunday. Not getting into all that, but there was two bunnies that were pulled out of that mulch when we were sticking those pitchforks in. And Kelsey and Ethan, no, Kelsey and I can't think of the other neighbor's son, but they pulled those bunnies out. So Kelsey brings these two wild bunnies home now. So here's two whirlwinds, but here's two bunnies, and by the grace of God, we're going to have to raise them now because we just can't go send them, turn them off in the wild. So we got two bunnies that now we have to get into the dictionary or Google, whatever it was back then, and figure out how to raise these wild bunnies so they don't die. Sherry's brother got involved. They built a couple cages out back, so now I got two cages, more mouths to feed, got to feed the bunnies, make sure the kids are feeding the bunnies. But two bunnies. I told Kelsey, I said, I'm going to have to start writing this down. So then, that same year, like I say, money was kind of tight. So if we went on vacation, it was those times when you drop those things in the malls, try to win that car, you know. Well, then you get a call three nights. What was it, three nights, 2 days? 3 days, two nights at the beach for free. But if you read the fine print, you got to go through a demonstration, a sales pitch. And it's probably about 2 hours. I'm pretty close. But one thing, an anointed word I learned when I got born again was I can say no now and be okay. Because I had a hard time saying no to somebody calling my phone. I felt obligated. And my wife, she was trying to handle the money, and I'm like saying yes. She says, say no, you don't have to do this. I learned that when I got involved with the finances because I used to just spend. And she's like, you know, you're spending and it's not there. I'm like, well, see, I didn't understand all that. So we take that, they called and we took that down at Myrtle Beach down there at the, what's that big place you go shopping at? North Myrtle Beach. It's a big word. Anyway. It's got Mamala. It's got all the shops. It's got all the restaurants. Something at the park. What? Boardwalk. Yeah, right there in that area. But before then, you know, Peter preached his message when he got born again. When I got born again, my dad used to make guitars. He used to play. He could pick up any instrument and play it. Could actually make it. He was a carpenter too. He just had that gift. When I got born again, I started hanging around a guy. And their family, they did bluegrass, Christian bluegrass. I went to school with them. Mike Shoemake, David Shoemake, and his brothers. Two of them's already gone on to be with the Lord early. But we would go over to their house and we'd practice. Now, I can't play a guitar. I was trying. I was just picking a tune. But these guys could play bass fiddle, banjo, guitar, mandolin. They were brothers. And they said, well, just sit there and just try to join in. And I'm glad they wasn't recording me because I sounded terrible. But I was trying, but just being there. Well, one day before practice, I was there early waiting at their house. And when I pulled in, there was this big old propane truck sitting there filling up their propane tank. So he gets done, and I pull up, and I'm talking to him in the cab, talking about twos now. And I start talking to him, and he's in a bad shape. Man, he's talking about committing suicide. I sit there, for at least an hour. And like I said, I didn't know how to cast out devils. The Bible, Jesus said, believers shall lay hands on the sick, they'll cast out devils. So anytime he started talking about suicide, I'd cast that devil out in the name of Jesus. And then we'd start talking about what the problem was. And this went on. I've never seen that man again. gentleman. But I believe, because I prayed with him to be born again, be saved, and you know, Jesus will take care of all this. Never seen him again that day, but when we left out on our vacation, we were just believing by faith, trusting the Lord, because usually Sherry will make a schedule of what we're going to do, but everything was laid out, so we're going. That place is taken care of, but we're leaving early, so we need a place to stay for a night. Haven't called, made reservations. Man, you know, you're supposed to call ahead and make reservations. It was this time of year when that, what do you call that, pretty purple vine that's fallen, it's going up the trees, wisteria. It was that season when wisteria, when we was going to the beach, and as we're riding down there, we're talking about, we're seeing all these things. Because see, I'm a new creation now. I see things different because I got born again. I'm starting to see things around me that I never paid attention to, flowers, thinking about Amelia, spending time with Kelsey. And see, God just, he'll meet you and he'll do supernatural things for you to show you how much he loves you. So we're seeing this and we're talking about this. So we get down to the beach and we're praying in tongues. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says when you don't know how to pray, pray in tongues, pray in your most holy faith. Amen. So we were praying in tongues. Lord, we don't know where to go. Where's the best place to stay? We don't have such amount of money. So as we're praying, we're getting close down there to the coastline. A propane truck pulls out in front of me, kind of real quick. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's follow this propane truck. Because I thought about that guy I'd been witnessing to. I said, I think this should just be a sign and a wonder for me that wherever this truck goes, and I thank God it didn't go back to the fill-up station. God knew me and my crazy faith, we're going to be believing for, looking for all kinds of things. We followed this propane truck, and it goes, and it pulls beside decent motel. You know, it's okay. I wouldn't stay there now. It was, you know, it's the money we had, it was what we had. It was going to be good. So we go in there, or I send Sherry in there. I said, I'll stay here by the car. And she said, she came back and said, well, they don't have no rooms. I said, well, that can't be right. I know I heard from God. It's got to be God. Well, beside this hotel is a nice high rise. And we look at each other and we're like, surely we couldn't afford. I know we can't afford to stay in there. But we agreed. I said, but go check it out, Sherry. She's good at making deals. You know, when there's cars to be bought, we send Sherry. Man, she goes. She knows what the blue book value is, and she ain't going to come off of that. She's always been good at that. So she goes in there and goes talk to the lady at the counter, and she says, no, ma'am, says, we don't even, you couldn't even get half a night with what you wanted to spend. And by the way, all of our rooms are booked. And Sherry said, well, could you just check just one more time? And as she checked, there was a cancellation, and it was on about the 12th. It was way up there. I don't know if it was a sweet house, but it was nice. And we got it at just the price that she had, the money she had in her pocketbook. So praise God. She took that and she came out all excited, said, get the bags out the car. I said, that's my job. She get the room, I get the bags. You know, because Kelsey and Dallas, you know, they're just wired up. Man, hopefully they might have been asleep by now, that ride and stuff. But so we get up, we don't have to unpack a lot of stuff, left a lot of stuff in the car. Because we're just staying there for the night. Because then we're going to go to our 3-day, 2-night extravaganza at Myrtle Beach State Park, where we're at. So we're up there and we're tired. We go to sleep. We got to check out 11 o'clock the next morning. So as I'm getting up in the morning, I go to the restroom, but I take my Bible. Because I've been putting this word in me first thing in the morning when I lay down at night. I'm just absorbing it like a sponge because I'm seeing God work mightily. And I'm absorbing this word. So I take it to the bathrooms. You know, good place to read by yourself. Well, Sherry, this place, this is oceanfront. This place has a balcony. 10, 14 stories up in the air. So I'm in the book of Proverbs where it talks about my son. Incline your ear to my sayings. My son, if you get into that Proverbs 2, 3, or 4. See, my dad never, we never had a son-father relationship. So God's building one now. My son. See, men, we need to be identified. Women, we need to be identified. Well, don't look to man, look to God. Because man can't meet your needs, only God can. You know, and I'm saying, if you got a good godly mother and father, God sent them. I didn't have that. Now, Mom, she's blessed. I'm saying, she was a godly mother. We just weren't allowed to go to church. I hadn't heard the word. So I'm in there, my son. Well, then Sherry, if you ever heard Sherry, the kids can tell you her voice when it's time to come in, right, Ruthie? You could hear it through. I could have been on the other side of, never mind. She ain't down here. I can't talk about her. But she said, Robert, you need to come out here and you need to look at this. I said, thank you, dear. I'll be out there. I'm busy right now. Busy. Studying the Word, reading, in the restroom. No, you need to come now. Well, before this story, I'm still believing God for healing in my eyes because I've wore glasses since the third grade. So that after I started getting into the Word, seeing that Jesus was my healer, and you need to act on your faith. So I told my wife, I said, I agree. I said, I'm taking my glasses off, and I'm driving to the beach with no glasses on. And I did it. It was a blurry drive. I didn't risk anybody's lives. If I needed to put them on, certain times I put them on, but I was just thanking God for my healing, believing Him. And so I had them off. And I was reading the Bible, you know, I got large print, but still, that was hard. I'm up here thanking God for my healing and the Word, letting the Word just get in my heart. And when she said that, she says, no, you need to come now. Because we were telling these things that God was doing in twos was just blessing us. He was just Him loving us and hugging us and showing us great things He could do. So when I came out, she was over there by the balcony, and she says, you need to come over here and you need to look. I said, okay, I'm coming. I said, let me grab my glasses. She goes, no, you don't need your glasses. Come out here and look. And when I went over there, somebody had stopped walking down the beach and wrote in the sand, say yes. And they didn't say to Jesus, T-O, they said to. It took a big two. Say yes to Jesus. And wrote it big enough where I could see it without my glasses on up there from the 12th floor. I don't know why. I don't even think we took a picture. But you're talking about somebody just thanking and praising God. That God just said, look, I can make somebody stop in the sand and write a two for you. Just to let you know I love you. And what you're doing, you're on the right path. You're following me. You're honoring me with your life. And guys, that is a part of our ministry today. If you ever hear me say yes to Jesus, I'm speaking that by faith because God wanted me, you know, our ministry is going to be Robert Jackson Ministry. And when I say ministry, the traveling ministry, He's called us to go out to pastor and teach. Has anybody picked up the phone and called me yet? No. But God said, I've called you to teach my people faith. So when the phone calls start calling, Robert will start going. Mm-hmm. Amen. But a big part of it was, as I go, that's going to be a part. Before I leave that church, wherever I teach, it's going to be talking about, have you said yes to Jesus? Now, see, they don't know the story, but I do. See, this is my story, because that's a part of it. Sherry's even got God gives her visions. She's even got a vision of how you can make an emblem for your ministry, for your business card, and that's yet to come. This has been over 20 years ago. This has been over 18 years ago that God showed me this. This is one of my little stories I like to tell, and there's more twos to that. But what's your story? What's something spectacular that you need God to do in your life? See, the Bible says He's no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do in your life. Whatever you need Him to do. A couple of things I would recommend. Get in a good church that teaches the Word. Gives you understanding of the Word. Because see, when I was going to church, a lot of things I would hear, and nothing against this, but first things, what's your priorities? What are you looking for in a church? They'd be looking, well, how's the daycare system, and how's the children's ministry, and do they have a big playground, and, well, where's the Word, guys? I mean, you can have, I mean, all that you want to have in a church, but the first thing I want to know is, are they teaching the Word? Is the Word the foundation? Are they teaching the power of the cross? That Pentecost, that there's another baptism, once you get born again and get filled with the Spirit, are you speaking in tongues? Are you operating in that power? It's there. Jesus said, don't go nowhere. He told His disciples that He'd been teaching for 3.5 years. He said, guys, don't you go anywhere until you've been endued with on power from on high. That's a gift from the Father, the day of Pentecost. That day is not coming again. It's here now. You can receive and speak in the Spirit anytime after you're born again. You just got to believe it by faith and then do it. I would recommend that. If you've been born again, you got to get born again. You got to know Jesus. That's the key. That's the foundation to life. That's what the cross is all about. But not just, you don't stop at the cross. See, Jesus is no longer on the cross. You come to the cross for salvation, for Jesus. Then you go on to Pentecost, to the power, to letting Him fill you, be being filled with His Spirit. And that takes you spending time with Him. Just another inspiration to that story, because my wife got born again first. And we went through the motions, and we're coming to a close here. I know I got to look at the clock. I can't be thinking 12. I could be thinking, this is sunrise. We've been here early this morning. But before, when me and Sherry were seeking, man, things were falling apart in our life. We got married, but we wasn't born again. We wasn't saved. We were just going through the rituals that everybody, I watched my family goes through. This is the way you do things. But I was without God in the world, without hope. And my marriage was without hope. But my wife, her sister-in-law, her brother, I mean, they were operating the church. My wife's brother's wife, Shirley, her brother was a pastor. They'd been in this church all their life, and Sherry was going there and asking me to come there, but she wasn't getting the answers that she was asking. The questions she was asking, nobody could give her the answer. Well, you just got to do this. And in other words, how can you make your marriage? How can I get my husband to come to church? How can I get him involved in things? Because she was born again. But what she found out was she had to fall in love with Jesus. And it ain't just her, it's all of us. What she did is she cried out to God one day in our house, and she'll have to tell her story one Sunday, but I'll tell a little bit of it. She cried out to God, said she tried this, and I've tried this, I've done this. If you are who you say you are, where are you? This little testimony of her story, and she said she felt a presence on her shoulder, a hand on her shoulder. And this word says, child, I am here. And then he said, pick up the book. Her mother's New Testament, because I had it over by the computer. He said, pick up the book. Because, see, we can have all these great things, manifestations of the Spirit, God having people put to two rabbits. But it all goes back to He reveals Himself by His Word. Because, see, the devil can reveal himself in manifestation of an angel of light and get you confused, get you into a cult, all this other stuff. And that's why he told my wife, now, pick up the book. And she went to, I believe, a psalm. And then after that, she would go to bed. She's back there reading and studying. She'd never done that before. She'd go in there and turn out the light and go to sleep and snore. That's what she'd do. Well, she still snores. But thank God she's got the word in her now. We got to pray, talking against that snoring. We got to work on that thing. It's got a little louder. Decibels have changed over the last 20 years. Hey, God's still doing miracles, signs, and wonders. He says sweet sleep. He didn't say nothing about snoring all night. Lord said, I give my beloved sweet sleep. But anyway, her life changed, and she fell in love with Jesus. And I told this, I think, a couple weeks ago. I was on the computer and on all these unclean websites, and the Lord told her, go ask your husband to look up the word prophecy for you on the computer. She didn't know nothing about prophecy, but the Lord knew I liked it. And when she came and said that word, I started looking things up, and what it did, it was drawing me out of the world into Jesus. And it wasn't a month, 2 months later, I'm in there, Holy Spirit's drawing me. I'm just under conviction, and I say, Lord, I need help. And all I had, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I went in there, it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Got saved on my couch. Got invited to go to church next week and went. Amen. This time I went. They invited me and I went. And the man that preached, he knew God was real. And when he called for the altar call, me and Sherry, we let the kids go somewhere that evening. Somebody watched them. It was probably Mama. Mama, can you watch the kids? Mama hardly ever says no. But we went, me and Sherry went down to the altar call, and when the prayer was prayed, when the evangelist came by, he touched us. You know, one touch of Jesus will change your life. See, it was the anointing. We went down, we came up, we wasn't speaking in tongues then, but I was anointed with power. Devils had to leave, because my desire was to be at the feet of Jesus. And from that point on, this is when God started doing all these miraculous things, and He is still the same God today. Amen. Amen. He's still a miracle worker. I wanted to tell my story because a lot of times we hear the Easter story, but had it not been for the resurrection, had Jesus not raised from the dead and gave me new life and I got born again, I wouldn't be able to tell my story. But see, He's not dead. He's alive, and He wants to work in our lives. But what we have to do, the Bible says, those that seek Him with their whole heart, You can't serve God with your head. You serve God with your heart. Amen. You open up your heart. That's your treasures. That's what God has given you. He's not going to knock the door down. He's going to knock. And if you don't answer, he's going to the next door. He's knocking. But when this day I let him in, I let the King of Glory come in my house, and it changed my life. Am I telling you my life? Our marriage is wonderful. Yes, by faith. We still got problems. I mean, you're going to, as long as you got in this flesh body on this earth and breathing, you're going to have a fight to fight every day. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And he says, if you want me to help you in that situation, even though I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and prophesy, I still got to ask Jesus to help me. Because, see, he told me, now you got the power now. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to teach you. But then you got to do it by faith. You got to say it. And then once you say it, that means you get up and you do it. Because if you believe something, you'll do it. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for Resurrection Sunday morning. Amen. I thank you, Father God, for the story that I'm able to tell this morning, the story of life, the good life that you came and died for, bled for.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.